Our scripture reading today is taken from Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. This is the word of God. Good morning, church. I am Jordan. I am one of the pastors of the church. Let us go to the Lord in prayer before we continue. Speak, O Lord, as we come into your presence. And may we be guided by your Spirit to hear and to act on your word. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Once again, good morning, everyone. It's a cold morning, so I'm really glad to see all of you here. Whether you are watching us, joining us online, or right here with us in the church, blessed Sunday morning to you. I'm really glad that I don't have to wear a face shield today for my preaching. You know, during my last sermon in December, when I had to wear the face shield, it was a struggle, you know, because I had to resist this temptation to scratch my nose. You know, it felt really itchy, but it was really awkward with the face shield. In my mind, as I was speaking, I'm like half thinking, I got to reach under the face shield, you know, then I got to scratch my nose and then quickly come out. What if I move something? What if the shield moves? So my mind was like really quite in a mess. And thankfully, I didn't sneeze. Otherwise, the face shield would look kind of unpleasant. But I kind of thought of it after the sermon. You know, what's wrong if even if I stop for a while, you know, just to scratch my nose and then continue? Is there anything really unacceptable or ungodly about it? It is instinctive, natural for us to want to scratch and itch. But I think therein said that sentence itself presents a problem too. Sometimes what is instinctive and natural, what feels good, can actually be harmful for us. You know, it's like you have a wound, a scab, you scratch it, or a rash. Your instinct is to scratch it, but you would aggravate the wound. It would delay the healing. You know, overeating of your favorite food would cause a stomach ache. Overdrinking can similarly lead to a health issue. It is instinctive, it is natural that we want to do something that satisfies us, that brings us pleasure, that fulfills our needs. You know, great or small, it doesn't matter. It can be an extra slice of cake, you know, an extra glass or mug of beer, wine, you know, an extra second or two on the accelerator so that your car, your vehicle can go faster, or simply scratching your itch, regardless of the scab or maybe even a pass. They are simple temptations. These are simple temptations we meet every day. Temptations really are everywhere. Now, how I define temptation would be something like this. You know, I have this habit of touching my nose. You know, temptation is something that is enticing, something attractive, something that draws us in or lures us away. Temptation is something that attracts us to one thing while distracting us from something else. Temptation can be that lure when you bought an empty bus, and as you go to that seat you chose, there's a wallet full of money. Temptation of easy money. Temptation can be the simple, alluring smell of a freshly made waffle, you know, as you pass by the bakery on your way home for dinner. You know, the temptation of a snack before a meal. Now, temptations are just as common as the breath we breathe every day. It is everywhere. I'm sure this morning a lot of us struggled with the temptation to sleep in, to come late. Perhaps in our mind we're also thinking, oh, I can just watch online, just a half an hour more. You know, maybe some of you are resisting the temptation of looking at your mobile phone now, checking your social media feed, resisting the temptation to yawn, to cough, or even to close your eyes. You know, there's nothing really wrong with all of this. Who doesn't want easy money? Why can't I get the waffle if I can finish my dinner later? Why can't I yawn? Why can't I cough? They become a temptation when you know, you get this feeling that even though you have the opportunity to do it, you know you shouldn't do it. Temptation is that feeling you get when presented with an opportunity to do what you innately know you shouldn't. Temptation happens whether you are alone or in a crowd. It happens whether you are physically tired, emotionally drained, or whether you are filled with love, filled with joy. Temptation is everywhere. It happens at any time. In today's passage, we read about Jesus being tempted by the devil in the wilderness. Verse 1 says, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." I think it is interesting to read that Jesus was led by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. You know, in the parallel passage in Mark chapter 1, verse 12, we read, the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, drove Jesus into the wilderness where he was tempted by Satan for 40 days. Drove him out. There's a sense of urgency as we read, immediately drove. Now, there appears to be no time of preparation, no gentle leading or prompting by the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus, after his baptism, was very quickly sent to the wilderness. Now, this time in the wilderness appears to be necessary for Jesus. You know, Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, it says, "This is my Son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased." At the baptism, this voice from heaven speaks the Lord's declaration over Jesus. And then Jesus is sent to be tempted. Now, the word tempted in Greek is parastenai, you know, from the root word para, which means to test. And this word is also found, equivalent in Hebrew, is found in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. It says, "And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not." The Israelites were led by the Lord for 40 years in the wilderness to humble and to test them, to see if they would really obey him. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. Now, not so much to humble and to test him, but to prove that Jesus really was the Son of God, what the Israelites failed in 40 years, Jesus would succeed. No matter the lure or the enticement, Jesus is able to resist the temptations. But of course, we are not Jesus. who are not the Son of God. You know, as the Spirit leads us, we will also experience time of temptation and testing. It can happen anytime, anywhere. And today we will look at what Jesus said and did when he was faced with temptation, so that we can learn and do the same in times of temptation. Now, Jesus resists the temptation. You know, Matthew records that the devil tempted Jesus in three ways. You know, to turn stones into bread, to cast himself off the temple, and to worship the devil. Now, Jesus had endured the temptations of the devil throughout the 40 days. You know, 40 days of fasting, he endured the temptations. You know, the temptations did not start only after 40 days and 40 nights. Again, in the parallel passages of Mark chapter 1, Luke chapter 4, it tells us that Jesus endured temptation for the full 40 days. I will not read the passage. You can take a quick look here. But we see the three specific temptations recorded. And it seems to suggest that it happened after the 40 days and 40 nights. After going through many different kinds of temptation, which is not recorded, you know, the gospel writers records down these three specific ones. Now, knowing that Jesus was hungry, knowing that he was physically weak, Satan came and he said to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." Now, Satan appealed to the physical need, the hunger that Jesus must have felt as a human, as a man. No, hunger is no joke. And when you are hungry, almost anything will taste great. And in that hunger, we can also become quite irrational. You know, in the book of Genesis, we read that Esau was not even in extreme hunger. He was just exhausted. But he sold his birthright to Jacob for some bread and lentil stew. Actually, there's nothing wrong with wanting food, for wanting to eat. But Esau fulfilled that hunger in the wrong way. And so Satan looks at the hunger and he tempts Jesus to meet that need in the wrong way. This fasting from physical nourishment is a demonstration that Jesus has power over the human nature and needs. When Jesus fasted, he was filled, he was empowered only by the power of the Holy Spirit and nothing else. But Satan was tempting Jesus, telling him to take the easy way out. "You are hungry, just turn these stones into bread. Why wait? You have the power, right? You are the Son of God, right? Just turn this stone into bread." Now, it all sounds good, logical, and right. Jesus has the power. Jesus is hungry. He has that power to end that hunger. God has the power to end world famine. You know, God could do it just like that. You know, why wait for Jesus? Why wait for God to provide later? How is it wrong to want to feed yourself if you are hungry? Here, it is wrong because it does not fit God's purpose. And so Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." This is quoted from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Earlier I mentioned verse 2 about the Lord leading the Israelites for 40 years. Verse 3 reminds the Israelites of the purpose. Why was it for 40 years? Reminds them that so that they might know that man does not live by bread alone, but man must live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. God's purpose is not to starve his people, but to remind them that they must learn to depend on him. So understanding God's purpose will help us resist the temptation and the lie that God does not or will not provide. Understanding God's purpose will help us resist the temptation and the lie that God does not or will not provide. And then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He will command His angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Now the devil was not discouraged. He was not even, he didn't even feel defeated after the first temptation failed. He moved on, he continued to try. And for the next temptation, the devil attempts to use what Jesus just said. And so the devil quotes from the Word of God. You know, reading the passage, I cannot recollect where this passage is quoted from, what the devil said. Maybe I read about it in the past, but I don't remember it. I cannot recall. But the devil quotes from Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. From the Word of God, from the Word of God, which man is to live by. And the devil tries to cast doubt about Jesus' identity. If you are the Son of God, if you are, prove it. You know, it's a challenge, it's a taunt to Jesus. You know, I can imagine the devil, you know, sneering at Jesus as he says it. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. God will surely guard, God will surely protect you. You know, it might seem easy enough for Jesus, you know, even for us, to think, if I was there, you know, if the devil said something like this to me, if you are a child of God, prove it. If you are a Christian, prove it. But at this point of time, Jesus is physically weak. He's perhaps even emotionally worn out after 40 days of fasting, alone in the desert, in the wilderness. And so the devil tries to plant another lie. Does God really care about you? If you are the Son of God, the Lord will surely protect you. Now, the promise of God that we read from Psalm 91 is correct, it's true. But the devil is trying to misapply God's word to a self-created situation and demand that God fulfills His promises. But that was not God's plan for Jesus. The Holy Spirit did not lead Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple. The Holy Spirit did not instruct Jesus to jump. To take God's promises and insist it applies to our lives is not only being presumptuous, but it is also dangerous. It is allowing ourselves to live a lie. Now, a simple example, let's say Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. A passage very often quote. Now, it is a great promise and it is a great reminder that the Spirit of God is with us and the Spirit of God empowers us. But if you were to go mountain climbing, you know, or if you do some extreme sports that challenges and stretches your physical limits, you know, you cannot take this verse and wave it before God and then you tell God, help me do it. Give me the strength to do it. You know, that would be misapplying God's promise. You know, the context of this verse speaks of God's strength upon Paul, upon the Apostle Paul to face the difficult situations he encounters. You know, verse 12, it says, to know how to be brought low and how to abound in any and every circumstance, to have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Then verse 13, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. To preach the gospel, to build a church. It is not to climb Mount Everest or be able to dive deep into the sea. Now that is not God's plan for you. That is not God's plan for me. And it definitely was not God's plan for Jesus to jump from the pinnacle of the temple. Jesus is God's Son. You know, without a doubt. And God loves Jesus. There's no question about it. The earlier chapter, the voice from heavens came down. This is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased. So in spite of the devil's best attempt to plant the lie, Jesus is assured of his identity. And once again, Jesus answers with the word of God. And he quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. In Exodus chapter 17, the Israelites had demanded that Moses provide them with water. And instead of trusting God to provide, they grumbled, they complained, and even when God graciously provided water for the people, and when God graciously provided water for the people, Moses took the opportunity to rebuke the Israelites, not to test God. This is quoted in Deuteronomy. Reminded in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and quoted by Jesus. Trust in God's plan, trust in His love. When we trust in God's plan, we will be able to resist the temptation and the lie that God does not care. When we trust in God's plan, we will be able to resist the temptation and the lie that God does not care. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. At last, the devil brings Jesus to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all this I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. In Luke chapter 4, again the parallel passage, it is written this way. And the devil took him, Jesus, up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. You know, in an instant, Jesus was shown all the kingdom of the world and their glory. And the devil promises, to you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours. Now, you see, Jesus came to establish the kingdom of God here on earth, so that all men might know that the Lord is God, and that Jesus is King. But in order to do that, you know, Jesus must go through the pain, the suffering. You know, he must go through death on the cross. And here the devil offers a shortcut to Jesus. You don't have to go through all the suffering. You don't have to go through all the pain. You don't have to go through the rejection of all these people whom you love. You just bow and worship me. You know, like the first temptation, the devil is offering immediate results. If you're hungry, just turn stone into bread. Why wait? Why suffer? Now, both Jesus and the devil knows that the kingdoms of this world ultimately belongs to God, and Jesus will eventually be king, be the King of Kings. The temptation, the lie here is that Jesus can have it all now, can have it immediately. He doesn't have to go through all the pain, the scourging, the humiliation, the pain on the cross. But that is not God's purpose for Jesus. That is not God's plan for him to fulfill the purpose. A shortcut can give us immediate gains, but it is not long term. It is like cheating in a test or an exam. You know, you may score really well for that paper you cheated on, but in the long run, you will realize that you do not know the subject and you will suffer in the end. You know, when I was in secondary 3, I remember my class cheated on this exam. It was really blatant cheating. We were taking paper from one another and we were moving around the classrooms. You know, we're not even hiding. And the teacher was very kind. He marked all the papers according to the answers, so you kind of scored really well. But by the time I got to Sec 4, by the end of the year exam, when I got to my O-levels, I was really, really bad for that subject. I went ahead to take the exam. I didn't get an F9 or an E8. I got a U, ungraded, because it was so bad. I cannot give a score. You know, in the long run, you know, we can cheat, we can take shortcut, but in the long run, we will realize that we are the one who will suffer. Jesus does not cheat. He does not take shortcuts. And this time, Jesus says to the devil, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Be gone, Satan. This is the first time Jesus gives a command to the devil. Be gone. And Jesus quotes again from Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13. Now the only one who has actual power and authority over creation, over the kingdoms of the world, is God. What Satan said earlier when I quote from Luke chapter 4, verse 3, is a lie. The devil has no power, no real authority to give the kingdoms of the world to anyone. Only God has that power. You know, when we recognize the person of God, when we recognize that he is the one true God, we are able to resist the temptation and the lie that there is an easier way out. When we recognize the person of God, we are able to resist the temptation and the lie that there is an easier way out. So Jesus resists the temptation through understanding God's purpose, trusting in God's plan, and recognizing the one true God. So in conclusion, as we look at the temptation Jesus went through and his response, three things we can learn to help us resist temptation. Understand God's purpose. We must trust in God's plan. And we must recognize God as the ultimate authority and power. Now we went through God's purpose and plan for Jesus. So the question might be, what about us? How do I begin to know and understand God's purpose and plan for me? It will be really hard to talk about discerning God's purpose and plan for each one of you personally. That is something more suited for a one-on-one personal interaction, where you can look, you know, you can look at and discuss how God has led you in your life thus far, how God has shaped you through the years, and what gifts he has blessed you with. But God's purpose for Jesus is for him to be the Messiah, the Savior, the Redeemer of all creation. And God's plan for that to happen is for Jesus to be the sacrifice, to be the payment for sin, to die on the cross so that all might be saved. God's purpose for us then, I would say for mankind, is to glorify him and to enjoy him forever. You know, in the Westminster Shorter Catechism, the first question asked is, what is the chief end of man? And the answer, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. God's purpose for man is to glorify him and to enjoy him forever. In Isaiah chapter 43, verse 7, the Lord says, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory. Now, we were created for God's glory. How does that help us resist temptation? It helps us resist temptation because we would live our lives wanting to fulfill that purpose of glorifying God. It helps us resist temptation because we would learn to trust God's plan for us. That what we are going through in life, the joy, the pain, all this can and will glorify Him. And it helps us resist temptation because it should lead us to submit, to surrender to the power, the sovereignty and the control of God. It is not about what I want, who I want to be, how I want it. It is about submission to God, to His plan, to His purpose. And knowing the purpose, knowing His plan, knowing the plan of God would mean nothing if we cannot submit to God, if we cannot obey the Lord. Jesus and the devil, both of them knew the Word of God. Both of them know the Word of God. The difference is that Jesus is obedient to it, while the devil rebels against it. In the Bible, we will find many teachings on how to glorify God. We will read many passages about God's plan for redemption, for sanctification, for restoration. We will read God's plan, God's purpose, God's call for us to go to the nations, to preach the gospel, to make disciples of all nations. Now, church, in every temptation, great and small, there is the challenge from the devil. Will you submit to God's purpose? Will you surrender to His plan in your life? Or will you take the easy way out? Will you wield the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, and stand against the schemes of the devil? What would you do? And at the end of the temptation, to end with verse 11, then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. Mark chapter 1, verse 13 says the angels were ministering to him through the 40 days as Jesus was tempted and with the wild animals. Now, it is not a different story, but a reminder that in times of trials and temptations, God's presence and comfort might seem to disappear. You know, when things go wrong and when things are tough, God might seem not to care, might seem not to be there. But God never leaves us alone. He is there, and His angels will minister to us too. Under God's greater purpose, let us learn to trust in His plan and to worship Him. So church, as we dive into 2021, you know, where every part of our life is different. Every part of our life is different, you know, from the year before. And we experience what is now called the new normal, you know, having to wear the face mask, work from home, having different restrictions. Will we commit ourselves to some of the old normal, to some of the age-old church traditions and discipline? Let us read the Bible more. Let us meditate on the Bible more, on the Word of God. Commit to know the Word of God, to memorize and to submit, to surrender to the Word of God and to live out the Word of God. Let us do it in a greater capacity this year. Can we do it together? How can we resist temptation? By knowing the Word of God, by memorizing the Word of God, and by living out the Word of God. May the Word of God empower and strengthen us in every trial and temptation. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your words speaks truth, speaks power and authority. And as we study your word, remind us to store up your word that we might not sin against you. Holy Spirit, lead and prompt us in times of temptation so that we may use the word of God to resist, to fight against the scheme of the devil. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for reminding us that we too can stand against temptations because you have shown us how to. Now may the word of God illuminate and light our every step. May the word of God dwell deeply in our heart, grow deep roots and bear fruit. This we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.